Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Hello and welcome to F1 Chronicle. My name is Tom Downey and welcome to episode 236 of Grid Talk, where today we are here to discuss qualifying for the Japanese Grand Prix. Just before we begin, if you enjoy the podcast, we would love it if you could take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you do, you'll automatically go into our monthly draw to win a Grid Talk t-shirt from our champion range of merch. Now, alongside me, first of all, we have F1 Chronicle's very own Ruby Price.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Let's not go there yet. It's too early.
Absolutely. Second of all, we have Louis Edwards. Louis, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Very well. I'm making a sensational return to the show after an absence. You have Steve Jackson. Steve, how are you, my friend?
I have returned. Nick Latifi needs to be concerned. The GOAT title goes to me.
I mean, what can you say to that, really?
Probably a lot of things, and we'll need to offline those for later.
Yeah.
I imagine I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, let's leave those for the after-hours show, shall we? But yeah. But yes, if you are one of the 72 people who are not yet subscribed to the channel, please do consider helping us out with a like and a subscribe. So, it is 9 a.m. here in the UK, and Steve is getting one up on us because, for once, it's me, Ruby, and Louis who are up early to watch Formula One. And today, like I said, we're talking about qualifying for the Japanese Grand Prix. So first of all, Louis, I'm going to come to you, and I'm just going to caveat this. Max Verstappen has taken pole position initially. This is subject to him going to see the stewards for an incident with Lando Norris. So at the time of recording, he's on pole position. We have not heard anything otherwise. So we will update you if anything comes in. But on the topic of Max, I mean, it didn't look like anybody could touch him today, did it?
No, but the Ferraris definitely gave it a good go. I mean, the gap in the end was, you know, less than a tenth. It was really close. And it's, you know, it goes back to sort of earlier qualifiers that we've seen this season where the Red Bulls and the Ferraris just so close. You know, it is so apparent that those two cars are so similar. And we really have been robbed of what could have been a much more exciting championship fight this season, because it's clear to see just how close these cars are. But Max, in the end, you know, his second run was a bit scrappy. That first sector really let him down, but it was enough. His first run was enough to get him on provisional pole, I will say. I believe as we're recording this now, there is the series inquiry is just started. Yeah, I mean, Max did a great job. He does a great job in qualifying every week, and it's the reason why he's done so well. But if he does get a penalty, I don't think it's going to be too difficult for him to get back through the field. That Red Bull looks very strong, and there are definitely places to overtake in Suzuka. But, you know, you've got to give fair play to Ferrari as well, because they actually did push him, and it did look for a second like he might have lost that pole.
Yeah, Leclerc did sort of come out swinging a bit at the start of Q3 as well, which was a bit of a surprise. But Steve, I'll give you both Ferrari drivers, because they qualified P2 and P3 respectively, with Leclerc being P2 and Sainz being P3. Not an awful lot in it between them. There was about a fag papers difference between them in terms of times. How do you think they're going to fare tomorrow, especially if they end up with a front row lockout?
Comes down to whether Max actually keeps pole, for one. And also, I say this half cheekily and half seriously whether their strategy team is actually interested in, you know, leveraging where they've finished today. In saying that, though, this is the closest they've been for quite some time. I mean, they it's nice to see that small of a gap between first and second, between two rival teams. We normally, like, we've been very used to having, like, Mercedes 1 and 2, or, you know, not so much this season with Sergio being a bit, but Red Bull 1 and 2. So it's nice having having Ferrari just sort of keep Max and Max in check. I actually thought Carlos had this. He looked pretty solid this weekend so far. So I thought he may have had the upper hand on Charles, but there's nothing in it. I mean, Charles's Q3 time 129.314. Carlos was 129.361. There's nothing in it. In fact, I think between the top four, it's less than it's half a second between the top four, and 6/10 of a second between the top five. So it's been incredibly competitive. So qualifying in this instance is all about those diminishing returns, and Ferrari have obviously got a good qualifying setup. I'm not too sure about their long runs. Nobody really got much of a representative long run in earlier this weekend with all the rain. So yeah, I don't know what the weather's due to do tomorrow. I'm kind of hoping it does rain. That'll, you know, mix things up a wee bit. But the way the grid is at the moment, it'll be interesting. And if Max gets a 3-place grid penalty, he will either charge through the field or punt somebody off, and that's always entertaining, depending on what side of the fence you sit on.
Yeah, I mean, Max is absolutely golden boy. He would never do anything like that. And it's not like his dad's got a reputation for doing things like that. So I don't know where you're coming from, Steve. Anyway, I say that tongue-in-cheek as a Max fan. So qualified P4 is Max's teammate, Sergio Perez. Red Bull don't like to do things easily, do they? You know, obviously, Max has is under investigation for quality this week. Perez under investigation last week after he took the win. Louis, Perez, he set the fastest time in Q2 towards the end of the session. He went absolutely bombing round, absolutely flying round at the end of Q2. So I was, I did think for a second he would be on pole, but he's not allowed because Max is going for the title. What do you think his prospects are for tomorrow? Podium? Win?
Well, I might let Ruby answer this one.
Oh, God.
Because I already have my piece on Max, so I'll let Ruby go for this one.
Thanks, Louis. I mean, to say that he was 0.8 off his teammate in FP3, it was a good turnaround for Sergio Perez, I would say, to be, you know, in the zone four, like, you know, that battle for P1. Red Bull aren't going to let him do it whilst Max is still, you know, got a championship to win, but Sergio Perez is the one driving that car, and ultimately he's the one that's going to make the difference. If he starts P3 tomorrow, because he's going to be ahead of his teammate potentially, I don't think he's going to stay ahead of his teammate for much longer, given Max only needs to outscore Charles by 8 points and Checo by 6, or to just, you know, get the win and fastest lap, and he's got the championship side. But a good showing for Checo to be P4 on a non-street circuit, which, you know, we've been calling his pedigree lately.
Yeah, he does seem to have a bit of a penchant for street circuits, I think it's safe to say. But P5, a much improved outing for him in this qualifying day is Esteban Ocon of Alpine. I mean, given he was out in Q1 last week in Singapore, I think it's safe to say he's back where Alpine will want him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were saying in the preview show earlier this week that Alpine have an amazing car and have amazing drivers. So their reliability has just been horrendous recently. Yeah, it was great work by both Alonso, but especially Ocon, brilliant to get P5. It's been so close this weekend between the McLarens, the Alpines and the Mercedes. And it'll do wonders for Alpine's, you know, championship standings as they, of course, they fell behind McLaren after Singapore. So it is a big opportunity that Alpine have taken here to really stamp their authority on fourth place and not allow McLaren to get a sniff at it, because we don't really know what's going to happen with that Alpine between now and the end of the season. And, you know, given the fact that they're probably going to take engine penalties at some point in the next four races because of their engine issues that they had in Singapore, they came out today and they did what they needed to. And Ocon, you know, showing his new teammate, Pierre Gasly, exactly what he was going to be contending with in that team next season.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we could see a couple of sparks at Alpine next year, obviously with Gasly and Ocon apparently not being the bestest of buddies. So that could make for an interesting dynamic, but hey-ho. But Steve, P6 is hashtag blessed, a.k.a. Lewis Hamilton. I believe commentary said that he is leading the qualifying head-to-head with George Russell this season. I think he makes this 10-7 or 11-7. Or I might be hearing somebody else's stats. Either way, he's P6, decent result. He loves Japan. Japan loves him. Do you think he's going to hold on to this position for the race tomorrow?
It's hard to say. I think it goes back to what I said before with Red Bull. The just weather has sort of made this quite hard to call. I sort of tricked myself into thinking that Mercedes actually had found something in their car earlier this weekend. And then I realized that you couldn't make those first two practice sessions any more wet if they were in the damned ocean. So the actual representative running wasn't, I don't think that was very fair at all. And saying that though, it is nice to see hashtag blessed, Sir Lewis Hamilton, actually, you know, beat George Russell on representative pace over a single lap, or over multiple laps. But you know, that one lap is what is obviously what counts, that fastest lap. So yeah, fair play to him. It's been a fairly, I want to say, quiet weekend for Mercedes, and in some ways it's a good thing for them. They've obviously had a bit of a mirror of a time. And yeah, it's they're obviously working behind the scenes to try and get that car sorted for next season. I imagine it will look very different, but they have to make do with the equipment they've got at the moment. I think Lewis's biggest threat is the guy right behind him in the other Alpine. So it's really hard to call. If it's a dry race, I don't think the Mercs have the raw pace to actually stay with Alpine or to keep them there. If it's wet, obviously the actual overall performance side of things tends to drop off a wee bit and the actual skill of the driver becomes more relevant. It's relevant anyway, but when it rains, we all know how good Lewis Hamilton is, but we also know how good Fernando is in the wet as well. So yeah, should be interesting.
Absolutely. I believe there is a somewhat 70% chance of rain tomorrow as well. So we could see something exciting tomorrow.
That's the best news I've had all weekend.
Yeah. So, Ruby P7, as Steve said, Fernando Alonso. He is, 10th behind Hamilton, if that's... the top sort of 8-9 drivers really, 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 really close in qualifying. Do you think Fernando will give it a bit of spice, or do you think he'll be shutting GP2 engine down the main straight again?
I mean, this is the location where he famously came up with the GP2 engine phrase, you know, for Honda's home race when he was back in McLaren Honda. I mean, it's Fernando, isn't it? Like, he's always going to bring a bit of spice anyway. Like, he obviously has some unfinished business after the disappointing result in his 350th, I think, race last time out in Singapore. It just all depends, you know, it's Formula One. anything's possible. And when you've got Fernando Alonso in your car, like, that just makes the even more impossible just a little bit more possible. Provided his car actually survives the race, though, that is, because as we've mentioned, Alpine have been awful with reliability this season.
Yeah, Alpine has been about as stable as my emotions this year, so it's safe to say it's not been brilliant. Fernando's either going to sort of blow up on a certain lap, or he's going to do late braking into the S's, or both at the same time. Anyway, Louis P8, George Russell, bit of an arguably disappointing showing from him. He was right on the cusp of the cutoff for Q3 at the end of Q2. I didn't think he was even going to make it into Q3 at one point. Maybe it was a bit of wishful thinking on my part. But no, he got there. P8, you could say not a brilliant result, but also the times between the drivers, like we said, are so fine in Q3 that it might not tell the whole story. But could you see him charging his way up the field tomorrow? Do you think he'll get back into a top five finish after that Kane crash into a halt last week?
I mean, I think as Steve was mentioning with Lewis, you know, I think this is going to be two different races depending on whether it's going to be dry or wet. And I know there is a significant chance of rain tomorrow, and I think the Mercedes showed in practice that they do have good wet pace. I think the key for them, maybe like Singapore, will just be getting temperature in those tyres now to make sure they get a good start, just get make sure they get plenty of temperature, otherwise they could find themselves falling back. But I think for Mercedes, tomorrow is going to be a matter of trying to keep with the Alpines, try and get ahead of them if possible and just keep them behind. I don't think they're really going to be looking at the Red Bulls and the Ferrari. So I think that fifth place is what the two Alpine cars and the two Mercedes drivers are going to be fighting for tomorrow. But as for Russell's sort of chances, I think he's just a little bit off where we would really be expecting him to. I think Singapore was a really tough weekend on him, and he hasn't bounced back as I would have hoped. But, you know, it happens in Formula One. Sometimes you have a bad race and it kind of just knocks on to your next one, but he'll get back in some time. But I think the Alpines are just going to be a little bit too quick, and I think Lewis is already in a better position and will probably hold on to that fifth place if he gets it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Steve, I'm going to give you both these drivers next to each other. Running at the top 10, P9, we have Sebastian Vettel, a very welcome return to the top three. And just edging his teammate is Lando Norris in P10. Seb, it was nice to see him back in Q3, especially given where his teammate qualified. And Norris once again beating Danny Rick.
Yeah, semi-emotional end to Seb's qualifying. He had a wee message over the radio just saying he'll miss his place, which is fair. He's had a lot of success here. 4 prior wins with Red Bull, or 3 with Red Bull, 1 with Ferrari, I think maybe. Was it all 4 with Red Bull? I don't know. I digress. Nice to see him in the top 10. The Aston Martin didn't actually look too easy to drive for him. I mean, they were both sort of moving around a fair bit. I think especially in practice 3, through the lower speed corners, it really was just skating around. It looked like it was on ice, so it didn't look like a particularly pleasant car to drive. So fair play to him for putting it in ninth. And no surprise, Lando well ahead of his teammate in terms of one lap pace. It was quite close in Q2. I think 2/10 or thereabouts, and then Lando's Q3 pace was was nearly 6/10 above what Daniel managed to achieve in Q2. So there was obviously far more in that car for Lando for Q3. But the track was actually slowing down a wee bit as well. And we've seen when, you know, when temperatures drop and that sort of thing, and it's not as compliant to surface. That's where Daniel really struggles. So I'm not too surprised about that that 16th gap. But yeah, I'm hoping for, you know, I'm hoping for a solid race result for both McLarens tomorrow. I mean, the livery that they've got on these cars, I don't know if it's permanent or not, but I quite like it. Looks great. But I think they probably need to work on that, those race runs, but only temporary. Okay. I mean, keep it on there because it looks cool. But yeah, bigger problems, I think. Bigger problems for McLaren especially.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that a fancy livery is going to fix, unfortunately. As nice as it does look, you know, as much like the golf livery of Monaco last year, it's not going to hide the obvious pain, especially for Ricciardo. Moving sort of further down into Q2, Ruby Valtteri Bottas, P12. Don't really know what to make of him today. He looked okay, but then he looked a bit slow, and then he just needs, you know, he needs to make some of his espresso with his porridge, I think, to get him going a bit. Should we see him in the points tomorrow, do you think? Or do you think he's destined for P12?
I think how you were starting that kind of just described Valtteri Bottas' career so far. He looked okay, and then he was a bit more disappointing. But yeah, like it all depends, really. Like, if Ricciardo has the race that we know Ricciardo can do, which is finishing about 30 seconds off his teammate, but still, you know, competitively, I don't see Bottas getting into the points, and it all depends on whether Vettel, you know, has given up entirely on Formula One. But I see him sort of staying around where he is. That's kind of the races that Valtteri Bottas has been driving lately. It's certainly not the, you know, highs of the start of the season where Alfa Romeo absolutely smashed their car weight versus everyone else. But yeah, it's just been a bit of an anonymous session, I'd say, for Valtteri Bottas today. And it could even be another anonymous race.
A bit like his anonymous career, I suppose. God, you can tell us early. Behind Bottas is home hero Yuki Tsunoda. Nearly outqualified his teammates, made it into Q2. Seems to be struggling with brake issues. And I noticed, I think it was the end of one of his runs in Q1, he had a huge lockup into the final hairpin and had an enormous flat spot on the front of his, I think it was on his front right. But still, into Q2, do you think the sort of home advantage, if you like, helps? Because most commentators say it gives you about 0.2. It appeared to today.
Well, I'd hope so, because you know, Yuki's going to need it, isn't he? Because I think he needs a bit of home luck just to get him to the end of a Grand Prix safely. But as it would appear, the car is not wanting to help him do that because it won't stop when he asks it. And it was the same for Pierre Gasly in this session. I think Tsunoda did a great job to get it out of Q1 in the first place. Maybe a bit of home, you know, home favour there. But I wasn't really expecting him to get much further than that. And I think where he ended up was kind of where we were expecting. But he was looking good. I think it's just the problem was that car just couldn't stop. And he was forever having issues into the slow corners, be it the hairpin midway through the, the track, or at that final chicane. It's just those places where you can lose a lot of time if you get it wrong on the brakes. And when you've got a car that is just, I'm not quite sure what the problem was. I'm not sure if the brakes were getting long, or they were just, you know, or the car was just refusing to stop, or there was just like an issue with like glazed brakes or something. I don't know. They haven't really said, but hopefully they can get it sorted for the race. It's going to be one that Yuki will be determined to finish. And it'll be great if he does, because I think Yuki's had to go through a lot this season. He's really not been as good as I'd hoped, but you know, he will get it. Of course, this won't be his only Japanese Grand Prix. He is still contracted for next year, so theoretically, he can still do it again if it goes wrong. But I think he'll be in for a good race tomorrow, as long as his car, well, can actually stop.
Yeah, and it's it does seem to be an issue which has been plaguing AlphaTauri this weekend. Yeah, so I mean, knowing his luck, he'll have brake failure and stuff into the wall in front and sort of on the main straight. At least he'll get a big cheer for it. P14 is Guan Yu Zhou Guan Yu. I'm never quite sure which way around to say that. I thought he was going to out-qualify Bottas at one point. Sadly, didn't. Steve, bit anonymous again. I mean, I don't really know what to say about Joe. You got anything to add?
Yeah, not for lack of trying, but yeah, very much an anonymous weekend. He's definitely not a terrible driver. I just don't think this is a track that particularly suits a short wheelbase of the Alpha. Does quite well in sector one, but beyond that, it's down on pace and just struggles for you know, high speed stability. It's a tricky one. I think the Alfa Romeo we saw at the start of the season, you know, with the ridiculous weight undercut that they managed to get over everybody else. It's not false performance, because performance is a package. It's everything. It's your power. It's your way it's delivered. It's weight and so on. But I think that maybe that may have hidden a few just sort of like quirks of that design. It's by far and away the shortest car on the grid in terms of its wheelbase. It's also the lightest, but that doesn't necessarily translate to a car that can actually cope with these high speed circuits. And we saw that at Austria. We saw it at was it Spa, I think, as well, where Alpha was a bit just sort of inconspicuous and not really getting anywhere. So it's an interesting car philosophy, and I think they have nailed it in the long run that, you know, Formula One is moving more towards these sort of festival weekends at street circuits and car parks in the middle of Vegas, which sounds about as exciting as stepping on a Lego. But I mean, they do have a I think one of the more consistent car concepts on the grid, and that they've chosen a design philosophy and a path that they want to go down and stuck with it. But it doesn't do them any favors when we get to these, you know, more typical and traditional FIA circuits where, you know, speed is quite important. And no matter how slippery they try and make that car, it's not going to make up for the fact that it is quite a handful in high speed, you know, direction changes. So I mean, I think again, if it's a wet race tomorrow, that will be where they can, you know, capitalize on you know, some misfortune of others. And I think they're up in the sort of, I think, yeah, I'm just having a look. Valtteri finished Q1 in 9th, Zhou Guanyu in 11th, and then it was 8th for Porridge, and then 10th for Zhou in Q2. Free practice 2. So those wet sessions do show that they do have far better wet pace than they do dry, but we also know that those practice sessions aren't really representative. So keen to see how it goes, but I'm going to keep my expectations fairly low for this one.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough with Alpha Romeo. I mean, I don't. Yeah, you covered everything off there. Ruby, Mick Schumacher, I qualified his teammate for once. Which, well done. I think the most spectacular thing he did this weekend so far was crashing after the end of one of the three practice sessions, so he didn't bring out the red flag during the session. What a good guy. I qualified his teammate, made it into Q2, was last in Q2, but still made it there. Anything to say on him?
I mean, like you say, I think it was a good job for him to outqualify his teammate after very limited running between the wet and dry sessions. Obviously, they had to rebuild most of that Haas after the aquaplaning incident at the end of Q1. But yeah, it'd just be know, nice to see Mick actually finish a race with some, I don't know, panache. Just actually giving us a reason to associate the name with him, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, he's being billed as this marketing tool based on his name, but can we not have a marketing tool based on it, on some talent? Which I'm sure he's got, but he's just not showing it at the minute. And I don't know if that's a Haas problem or if that's a Mick problem.
Yeah. And first of all, shots fired. But I think that's a very good point. You know, his name is helping him and hindering him at the same time, I think it's fair to say. We'll move into the last few drivers quickly because there's not an awful lot to talk about. Louis Albon, P16. I mean, he's in Williams. What can you say? You've got anything to add on him or not really?
No.
Cool. Gasly, P17, suffered brake issues. Anything to add on Gasly? Anybody? I'm just going to throw this out there now because we're...
He's very shouty now that he's been freed.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
I said to other Tom in the chat during qualifying, just that when they interviewed him after after Q1, sorry, it's just the face of a man who's just mentally checked out. Yeah. I imagine there's quite a bit of relief that he's leaving, because you just sort of get the impression that he's sort of considered, you know, damaged goods at Red Bull, which is a shame because we know he can drive. In the chat, everyone, if you can put down who punches who first when him and Esteban are Alpine together next year. I'm going to say punch by Australia and walls in the garage by Hungary.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for that. I think guys is just going to bash in Ocon because Ocon's a little weasel. If you ask me. P18, Kevin Magnus, this is just ascended into anarchy now. P18, K-Mag. Anybody going to see the one riding K-Mag? Because I thought it was a bit of a disappointing show from him today. Ruby?
He'd be losing to Mick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
I genuinely forgot about him. Being serious, I had to scrape for where he was all weekend.
I've just had to scroll further down on the webpage to find his name.
Yeah. I know some of it's TV time. Like, you know, if you're down the back, you don't get the TV time. But I mean, the hopes and expectations of K-Mag making a triumphant return to Haas they're gone.
I'm struggling to recall the last time a team promised so much but delivered so little in terms of a sort of like comeback.
McLaren Honda.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah.
Or this being the year that the Ferrari target on backs.
MasterCard Lola. Does that count?
No. That's just a meme by this point.
Andrea Moda.
Oh, God alive. anyway. Right, the last two drivers on the grids. God help us with these two on the back row next to each other. Lance Stroll and Nicholas Latifi. Now, have they had a coming together this season? I think so. I can't quite remember. And I just want to point out that Latifi, absolute gent that he is, qualified P20 with a five-place grid penalty so nobody else get affected by it. What an absolute standout guy. That's how considerate he is.
I think he should have to actually be like the equivalent of five more grid places back.
I think he should just start from back in Singapore at this
point. Guys, I've got breaking news.
Sorry, breaking news.
Max Verstappen has received a reprimand.
Oh, come on.
A reprimand.
Come on.
Really?
Here you go. You've just endangered your life and the life of another driver. Slap on the wrist. Don't do it again. But if any other driver does it, it's a five-place grid penalty and you have to go to dinner with Marco.
Steve, put the gin down.
Sorry. The good thing is, with Lance and Nicholas next to each other, they're both Canadian, so they'll just be really polite about who gets who into T1. So, yeah, you go first. No, I insist after you. It's fine.
Oh, God, life has just ascended into something.
I mean, that's what the FIA are doing. Descending into something.
Yeah. If we actually put Latifi 5 equivalent places back, there's a real risk that the course car, the medical car behind them, will actually pass them. If we consider that, is the course car eligible for points?
I don't know.
We've currently got 22 people in the drivers' championship and a 20-car race, and a 20-car championship. So, yeah, who knows? Why not add Bert Mylander to it as well?
Think of the amount of laps that Bert Mylander's led in the wet. You know, he's a, He should have won the
Spa 2021.
Yeah, he is the GOAT.
Yeah,
Latifi is fired. He is the GOAT.
Well, Latifi's fired anyway. Yeah, so that was your rather chaotic roundup of qualifying for as you say, for the Belgian Grand Prix. No, that's not right. For the Japanese Grand Prix of 2022. As you can tell, I don't usually do these things in the morning. Because I'm still waking up. So let's do let's do some predictions for tomorrow. I want to hear everybody's prediction for who they think is going to win and who their podium is going to be. So first of all, Ruby, who do you think is going to win tomorrow?
I think it's going to be Nicholas. No, it's going to be Max Verstappen. Like he wins from 14th. He's starting pole now with a reprimand. Yeah, he's won this race tomorrow.
Okay, Louis, who's going to win tomorrow?
Ocon.
I like the way you think. Steve, who's going to win tomorrow?
Not interested.
Fair enough. Thanks for coming.
I'm actually quite hosed off with this. A reprimand for that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
Save it for the post show, Steve.
Yeah,
save it for the post show.
Okay. Logic would dictate Max. I think Fernando's got an outside chance though, especially if it buckets down. I think Fernando or Lewis. If it buckets down, I think those two will be scrapping for the lead, purely because every other car's been set up for, I think Merck is setting up for a wet race, shows with how draggy it is, and Alpine are just going like just bananas for it because they want that P4 for constructors. So, yeah, I think those two for spicy, but for logic, I think Max.
And for me, yeah, I mean, especially now he's got a reprimand. Even if you'd have had a 5-place grid penalty, I'd have said Max. But yeah, I think it's provided he doesn't stuff the start or what have you. I think he's going to win. Okay, I want to hear your podiums as well. So Ruby, you've obviously said Max is going to win. Who do you think is going to be on the podium alongside him?
If it's a wet race, I'd go with Steve options of Hamilton and Alonso, maybe. Or I might save that for a bold prediction and say Leclerc and Sainz.
Okay, so you're going Leclerc, Sainz, yeah? Okay, Louis, what's your predictions for the podium?
Well, I've already put Ocon on to win, so I'm going to go with Charles second, and then go Perez third, because I think there's going to be an accident with Max and potentially Sainz.
Have you been drinking?
No, it's just early in the morning. I've just woken up.
Okay. Steve, do you think it's going to round out the podium?
Dry race. I think starting order, Max, Charles, Carlos. Wet race, Lewis, Fernando, and just because I'd love to see the old timers on the podium all together one more time, Seb for third.
I would like to see it.
I would love to. Like, it's a very outside chance, but that would make me a very happy lad. I'd love that.
Absolutely, yeah, that would that would be nice, to be fair. And just quickly, bold predictions. Ruby, what's your bold prediction for tomorrow?
Wet race, Lewis and Alonso. I've already said it.
Yeah, fair. I mean, Louis, you've already said yours. Ocon to win. So,
I don't think that's that bold. I think, you know, some collisions. Especially if I say, like, you know, Max and Carlos come together tomorrow, then, you know, there's potential for safety cars and strategies. And, you know, I think the Alpine has the pace, you know, when, you know, take, you know, raw power out of the equation when you've got rain, and you've then got a very competitive Alpine, I think. So I don't think it's completely out of the box to say that he has a chance of winning. But I'm going to go with both AlphaTauris to score points.
Okay, that is very bold. And Steve, dare I ask?
Crofty will say it's lights out and away we go. And if it rains, Mick Schumacher top eight.
Ooh.
If it rains, top eight. Practice one, he was on it. Absolute king.
And totally put it in the wall. Okay. Right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, for watching. Apologies if that was a bit chaotic this morning. I just want to give everybody a chance to promo themselves or their media outlets of choice. So first of all, Ruby, who are you? What are you doing here? Who gave you a key? And where can we find you?
I think the same could be said to you, Tom, but
yeah, fair.
I'm Ruby. I'm one of the hosts of Grid Talk, and you can find me on the socials at Rubes, R-U-U-B-E-Z. Put a 001 if you want to find me on Instagram in the end.
Very hipster of you. Louis, where can we find you? Who are you? Get out of my house. What do you do?
You'll never find me, Tom. I co-host this majority of the most weeks. So if you want to find more from me, just subscribe to the F1 Grid Talk podcast.
Okay, and last but not least, Steve, please get out of the basement. where can we find you? Where are you
in
from?
In your basement, apparently. you set yourself up. So I'm one of the admin/mods for Shakedown, which is a motorsport conglomerate. Now, normally I'd plug this, but I am going to get a bit serious for a moment. Last weekend at Bennett's British Superbikes, unfortunately, there was a bit of an accident which involved Chrissy Rouse, who sadly succumbed to his injuries a couple of days ago. So I just wanted to pass on my deepest condolences to the Rouse family. Chrissy was an incredible rider and a solid human being. So, yeah, really sad. But on a slightly more positive note, we do motorsport stuff for everything. So open wheel, motorcycles, GTs, prototypes, rally, you know, you name it, we've probably got it. Just no V8 supercars because fisticuffs. So, come find us. You can find us on Facebook. So look up Formula Shakedown or Moto Shakedown or just Shakedown or whatever sort of motorsport discipline you're into. We'll be happy to have you.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, and I'm part of the Formula Shakedown group on Facebook, and they are a fantastic bunch of individuals there. So I would highly recommend partaking in some healthy debate if you want. Just don't be an idiot, please. I am also a co-host, obviously, of Grid Talk alongside Ruby and Louis and several of our other dazzling presenters. You can find us, this is a lovely segue, you can find us on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to both qualifying and race results. Please also consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get better mics, lights, and recording equipment. You can also get your hands on some official Grid Talk merch, at f1chronicle.com/store. Also, please make sure you are subscribed so you're the first to know when each weekly episode is released. We'll be back tomorrow to review the We will be back tomorrow to, it's because there's a thought of rain, it's because I get PTSD. Tomorrow, we will be back to review the Japanese Grand Prix after a 2-year hiatus. So please do come watch, listen, partake, and we will see you all tomorrow. Goodbye.
Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season. And what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.